Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
A big day today, a big day yesterday, big days to come, a lot going on in America. And that makes me very, very happy as we begin our 5 o'clock happy hour. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli and Instagram at Zeoli Show. So we'll go live to the Roosevelt Room in the White House, I believe. Actually, it looks like the Oval Office, but I'm not quite sure exactly where it is. Hard to tell from that angle. But no, I think it's the Roosevelt Room because I see Teddy Roosevelt in the painting. All right. So we'll take that live for you when it happens. The president's going to be making a big announcement on infrastructure and a big investment in artificial intelligence. So we'll talk about that. You know, as I've told you before, I'm totally against the TikTok ban. I think it's outrageous. I think we need to save it. Apparently now that there is a deal in the works, according to the Wall Street Journal, Elon Musk met with Chinese Vice President Han Zhang over the weekend. He also attended the inauguration yesterday. And apparently TikTok's founder is supposedly a huge Elon Musk fan. He's even called him his hero, and he's compared him to Steve Jobs. The Chinese Foreign Ministry is now saying that companies can make their own decisions on operations and acquisitions, meaning that the Chinese government does not have to okay a potential sale of TikTok. So something's going to happen. It's just a matter of who, okay? How, who and when, and that's the question, and we'll figure that out. But something will be worked out here. I mean, it's just a matter of time. We all know that. Speaking of Elon Musk, by the way, that idiot senator from Connecticut, Chris Murphy, the other idiot senator, he's the lesser idiot senator because, honestly, Richard Blumenthal is such a moron that he outshines Chris Murphy. But Chris Murphy's an idiot, too. It's amazing for a state that's as wealthy as Connecticut is that they have such idiots representing them in the Senate. But they do. Typical of liberal states, I guess. So he accused Elon Musk of doing a Heil Hitler salute. And Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, now UN ambassador designate, Elise Stefanik, shot him down. Good job by her. Cut number one.
Elon Musk, perhaps the president's most visible advisor, doing two Heil Hitler salutes last night at the president's televised rally.
No, Elon Musk did not do those salutes. I was not at the rally, but I can tell you I've been at many rallies with Elon Musk, who loves to cheer when President Trump says we need to send our U.S. space program to Mars. Elon Musk is a visionary. I'm looking forward to his work in DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, and look forward to looking how we can be more efficient and effective. But that is simply not the case. And to say so is the American people are smart. They see through it. They support Elon Musk. We are proud to be the country of such successful entrepreneurs. That is one of our greatest strengths as Americans.
By the way, this is the guy that built the electric car, and you people on the left used to love him because he made the electric car accessible and affordable to everybody. And even the Anti-Defamation League is saying it's not a Heil Hitler salute, you idiot. And you know it's not a Heil Hitler salute. And if it was a Heil Hitler salute, Trump would want nothing to do with him. And it wasn't. Period. It so frustrates me. Gerald Posner has a great piece about this, too, about people using Hitler. And we'll talk to him about this tomorrow on the show. But Elise Stefanik also said, we can't tolerate U.S. taxpayer funds going towards terrorism. No, we cannot. And that's why the United Nations, whatever the Bond villains are doing around the world and trying to get us to give up our sovereignty in the name of global cooperation, the same crap they've been trying to do since Woodrow Wilson. Who was it who sent me that? Someone in the Zeoli Army sent me a joke the other day. And I can't remember who did, my apologies, but the joke sort of goes like this. I was asked a time travel joke about, or a time travel analogy. I said, you know, would you go back in time and kill Hitler? And I said, no, I wouldn't go back in time and kill Hitler. I'd go back in time and kill Woodrow Wilson. And then the guy said, who's Hitler? Meaning that had you not had Woodrow Wilson and the destructive League of Nations and the way that they just destroyed Germany and their high inflation rate, you never would have given rise to Adolf Hitler. And it's kind of a funny joke, but Treaty of Versailles was devastating. And also the United States presence in World War I as well. But nevertheless, a little Woodrow Wilson humor for you on a Tuesday, on a cold Tuesday. Here's Elise Stefanik, cut number two.
We should never tolerate any U.S. taxpayer funds going towards terrorism. As in my question with the ranking member, Shaheen, I was one of the members that voted to defund UNRWA. I was one of the leaders in standing for that important appropriations vote, which there is a bipartisan consensus on with significant members, Republicans, as well as some Democrats who voted to defund it. I think we can look to organizations within the U.N. system, such as UNHCR, such as the World Food Program, working with USAID, which are proven organizations. They still need, you know, reform efforts and modernization, but don't have the terrorist ties that UNRWA had, particularly that were exposed during the October 7th Hamas attack against Israel, whether it was Hamas's leader Sinwar carrying an UNRWA teacher's passport, or whether it was the UNRWA office above a Hamas data center, or individuals within UNRWA who participated in the terrorist attack against Israel on October 7th. So that I fully support the president's commitment to defunding, and I'm proud to have voted for that in the Congress.
Okay, good. Because the global bond villains are some of the worst people on the planet. And in the name of global cooperation, we actually wind up enriching people who are terrorists. And that's the bottom line. And that's what happens in the United States of America. But I'm happy. I'm very, very happy because Trump is president. And this is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place. Look, it's never too early to think about a Valentine's Day getaway with your special somebody, right? The Grand has wonderful Valentine's Day packages for you that include breakfast and romantic dinners. So just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com and think about a weekend away in beautiful Cape May. Cape May is great. They have the indoor heated pool at the Grand Hotel and beautiful Hemingway's restaurant right on site. I was talking to the chef last time I was there. He was telling me about how fresh that seafood is. How fresh those cuts of meat are. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. The food there is great. So GrandHotelCapeMay.com and make you a reservation for Valentine's Day weekend. Yes. It's also, kids are going to be off from school. So think about taking the kids away for the weekend, too, and letting them use that indoor heated pool. They'll love it. January 6th journalist, I've been teasing this for a while now, Steve Baker, who is doing nothing but covering the events of January the 6th and had his life destroyed in the process by the United States government, simply because he happened to work for the Blaze and was a conservative. You talk about the war on the media, the war on the press. They destroyed this man, destroyed him. He did nothing wrong that day, didn't do anything other than he was just in the Capitol reporting on what was happening. And for that, he was sent to federal prison. And there was no sympathy from the ACLU and no sympathy from the White House correspondents and no sympathy from corporate media. Nobody. Nobody was there for Steve Baker. Horrific what happened to him. And this is him reacting to being pardoned by President Trump yesterday. Cut number six.
I carried endless nightless sleeps because of this thing. But that's all I was affected by. So many others lost everything. They lost their homes. They lost their families. They lost their wives, their husbands. They lost their jobs. They lost their careers. And because of the over-weaponization, the over-prosecution, the over-sentencing of people who did not do anything other than just walk through an open door at the Capitol on January 6th. That's all they did. They saw a line of 200 or 300 people walking in, and they looked at each other and they said, honey, look, everybody's going in. You want to go in? We've never seen the Capitol before. We've never seen the Great Rotunda before. They walked in for 10 minutes. They took a photo, a couple of selfies of each other. And their lives were destroyed because of this.
Yeah. Their lives were destroyed, absolutely destroyed. And it's horrific what happened to so many of them. And here's President Trump pardoning them, announcing the pardon yesterday and the granting of clemency for many of these people. Cut number five.
Mutations in there where we're doing further research. Nice to see you again. So this is a big one. Anything you want to explain about this? We hope they get them. We hope they come out tonight, frankly. If you're expecting it, approximately 1,500 people, six commutations.
Were there any cases you did not mean or part of people?
We're looking at different things, but the commutations would be the ones that we'll take a look, and maybe it'll stay that way.
The key is that he didn't hide from this. He told the American people he was going to do it, and the American people elected him, and there you go. So it's a promise fulfilled. They said he was going to do. He said he was going to do it. So, I mean, President Trump keeps his word. If people had doubts about that, I don't know what to tell you. But again, these people suffered. They all paid a price here. Everybody paid a price, and for a lot of them, their lives will forever be haunted by the events of January the 6th. Let's understand that their lives will inevitably always be haunted by the events of that day. That's the bottom line. But in San Francisco, liberals got together to scream. And they all got together in San Francisco. This is a shortcut, but I want to warn you, this is a painful one to listen to. Now, the only reason I can play this is because I just took my medication. Just as an update for you, Dr. Malilly, great guy, Cooper Podiatry, Dr. Dave Malilly, great guy, told me today, said, I heard you the other day on the radio, you know, funny guy, making your comments about how you don't listen to the doctor. Well, if I got to put you in a full cast up to your ass, I'll do it if that's what has to happen, because I got to go for another surgery in a couple weeks. But the good news is today, my infection, we're making great progress on the staph infection. And every day I take my IV antibiotic. Oh, today, Matt DeSantis, you'll like this. So I accidentally forgot to put the cover back on. And blood started pouring out like a geyser. Yeah, blood started pouring out all over like a geyser all over my dining room table today. It was great.
Remember earlier in the show we discussed you sharing too much information? I'm going to go ahead and classify that story as too much. I didn't need to know that.
Yeah, like a geyser out of my arm.
And Nancy
Pelosi flew in through my window and broke in through the glass and started licking it up. True story. No joke, folks. Speaking of San Francisco. Oh, and so he gave me, but here's the thing, Matt. He said, I'm not going to lose my foot, but I do have to get another surgery. That's going to happen probably in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but I probably will only be in the hospital for a night. And then it's 8 to 12 weeks of no driving or no walking on my foot. Can you believe that?
I believe that there's no way you're going to go 8 to 12 weeks without walking or driving.
Well, Bridget said to Dr. Malilly, she said, he's not going to listen to you. He said, well, if I got to put a cast on him from his foot to his ass, I will do it if that's what it takes.
I endorse that. I'd like to say it.
I'm going to be in like a full body cast, like in the Naked Gun. That's what's going to happen to me. But, you know, but it does get you sympathy. Like today, I don't know if I mentioned this or not. I was on Fox News today, America's Newsroom with Dana Perino. Did I mention that?
I had no idea. That's interesting.
Yeah. So it turns out they sent a car, picked me up, brought me to New York, yada, yada. I was sat there on the panel next to Dana, and I was on her show, America's Newsroom, talking about Trump's executive orders. In fact, so I did that, and the boot garners you a lot of sympathy is the thing. And I told Dana the story of how the other day on the scooter after, did I mention I was on Jimmy Fallon's show Saturday night on Fox News Saturday night with Jimmy Fallon Saturday night on Fox News?
What night was that?
Saturday night, 10 p.m. On Fox News.
Did not know that. That's interesting. You should share these things with the audience. I bet they'd like to watch.
Should have made a point of that. So I brought my scooter to New York with me, and after the show, we all go to the bar, and I broke dry January, and I was scooting, and then I crashed into an SUV, and the guy came out, and I think he was a Russian oligarch, only he said he was Uzbekistan, but he had on a furry hat, gold teeth and bracelets, and he offered me a Turkish cigarette, which I declined. And I told Dana that story, and Bridget yelled at me and said, I shared too much. I shouldn't have told Dana Perino that story. So there you go.
I'm impressed that you made it 18 days into dry January, though. I thought you were going to tap out within 48 hours.
I'm telling you, man, I had one Peroni, and I was loopy. It's like Michael Keaton is Batman. One drink, and I'm flying. By the way, this is just ibuprofen, nothing special. If you thought I was doing anything hardcore, I'm not. Just boring old ibuprofen. So anyway, I was on Fox News this morning. We have audio of me on Fox News. Would you like to hear me on Fox News this morning? Oh, I could send you the video clip that our buddy Juliana Freeman took, and then we could play it on YouTube. Why don't we do that?
We can do that, yeah.
Can you pull it up?
Yeah, give me 2 seconds. I'll send it to Kirk.
All right, and then we'll play that. In the meantime, why don't we play people in San Francisco who have Trump derangement syndrome screaming as they all got together for a collective scream? This is just glorious. Cut 27. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that to you. I apologize. Brutal. Not fair. Not fair to anybody. I'm sorry about that. Sorry. Staying on his legacy, CNN's John King, David Axelrod, both ripped Biden for slipping in last-minute pardons for his family. Outrageous. You see, you can talk about January 6th all you want, but those people did suffer. Those people did go to prison. Many of those people were treated in absolute defiance of due process and were given sentences that were way, way out of proportion. But the Biden crime family got away with all of it. And it is a stain on his legacy, and it should be a stain on his legacy. Cut number 20.
When at the very last minute, when then soon to be former President Clinton was on his way to the Capitol, and they pardoned this billionaire Mark Rich, who was a fugitive and had violated all sorts of sanctions against Iran and other countries around the world. It's just unseemly. If you're going to do it, have the courage to do it in the light of day and explain it to the American people. It's a stain on his legacy to do it like this. We can have an argument about, is it necessary? Has Donald Trump promised retribution? Yes, he has. If you're the president of the United States who said that the curse of Donald Trump was that he didn't respect democracy and didn't respect norms, have the courage to look the American people in the eye and explain what you're doing.
Yeah, the way it was done suggests that there was something wrong with doing it. Yeah. He tried to slip it in under the final minutes, and that was
The escalating rhetoric from Trump, though. I mean, he says in the pardon statement, he said, this acceptance should not be misconstrued as an admission of guilt.
No, I know what he said. I mean, he said that. Yeah, I know what he said. But the fact is that Trump has been saying this for a long time. That doesn't explain why in the last 10 minutes of your presidency, just made the whole thing look tawdry.
No, it is tawdry. And look, again, say what you want about the January 6th pardons. Trump said he was going to do it. He said he would do it. Biden said the opposite. Biden lied and said he would not pardon Hunter Biden, his son. Said he would not issue pardons to his family. Trump said exactly what he was going to do with regards to J6. And the American people voted for him. And the founding fathers, the framers of the Constitution, gave the power of the pardon and clemency for the chief executive to be able to offer clemency in a healing way to move our nation forward, which is why Lincoln pardoned the Confederate soldiers and officers after the Civil War, because he wanted to heal America. He wanted to move on. Trump was very clear in what he was going to do. He said he was going to do it. So if you didn't like the fact that he was going to do it, you shouldn't have voted for him. My guess is that you're happy he did it. And Biden lied through his teeth, saying that he would not pardon his son and his family members. And that's exactly what he did. The president of the United States is now taking the podium here. So my comment on Fox News will have to wait as President Trump takes the podium here in the Roosevelt Room of the White House. Do you guys have it up there?
Right,
is it up there?
Here's President Trump in the Roosevelt Room.
Here we go.
Well, thank you very much. And it's an honor to be here today. We have first full day as president. We're back. And we had a great first term, but we're going to have an even better second term. And I think we're going to do things that people would be shocked at. We're starting off with tremendous investment coming into our country at levels that nobody's really ever seen before. And they're very happy with the fact that I won the race and that they feel confident in their investments. And it's big money and high quality people. So my first day back from having a nice life, it's my honor to welcome three of the world's leading technology CEOs. And in the case of Larry Ellison, it's well beyond technology. He's sort of CEO of everything. He's an amazing man and an amazing business person. But to announce the largest AI infrastructure project by far in history, and it's all taking place right here in America. As you know, there's great competition for AI and other things, and they're coming in at the highest level. We're joined by Oracle Executive Chairman Larry Ellison, SoftBank CEO, my friend Masayoshi Son, and CEO of OpenAI, and I would say the by far the leading expert based on everything I read, Sam Altman. So that's great that you're coming in together. That's a massive group of talent and money. Together, these world-leading technology giants are announcing the formation of Stargate. So put that name down in your books, because I think you're going to hear a lot about it in the future. A new American company that will invest $500 billion at least in AI infrastructure in the United States and very, very quickly, moving very rapidly, creating over 100,000 American jobs almost immediately. This monumental undertaking is a resounding declaration of confidence in America's potential under a new president. Let me be a new president. I didn't say it. They did. So I appreciate that, fellas. But it'll ensure the future of technology. What we want to do is we want to keep it in this country. China is a competitor and others are competitors. We want it to be in this country, and we're making it available. I'm going to help a lot through emergency declarations, because we have an emergency. We have to get this stuff built. So they have to produce a lot of electricity, and we'll make it possible for them to get that production done very easily at their own plants if they want, where they'll build at the plant, the AI plant, they'll build energy generation, and that will be incredible. But it's technology and artificial intelligence, all made in the USA. Beginning immediately, Stargate will be building the physical and virtual infrastructure to power the next generation of advancements in AI. And this will include the construction of colossal data centers, very, very massive structures. I was in the real estate business. These buildings, these are big, beautiful buildings. They're going to employ a lot of people. And physical campuses and locations currently being scouted nationwide. They're making their choices of locations. I think they have their choice. I'd like to ask Larry, Sam, and Masa to say a few words and just talk about a little bit about what they're doing. And if you have any questions, and then we'll go into a couple of other subjects also. But this is, to me, a very big thing. $500 billion Stargate project, I think, is going to be something that's very special. It'll lead to something that could be the biggest of all. So, Larry, maybe we'll start with you and we'll go down the line. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. We certainly couldn't do this without you. It would simply be impossible. AI holds incredible promise for all of us, for every American. We've actually been working with OpenAI for a while and with Masa for a while. The data centers are actually under construction. The first of them are under construction in Texas. Each building's a 500,000 square feet. There are 10 buildings currently being built, but that will expand to 20 and other locations beyond the Abilene location, which is our first location. The kind of applications that we're building, to give you an idea, maybe the most charismatic and the one that I think touches us all, is electronic health records, not just maintaining electronic health records, but by looking at electronic health records, understanding the condition of the doctors, better understanding the condition of their patients, and being able to provide healthcare plans that are much better than they otherwise would be. A doctor in Indian River Reservation would be able to see how a doctor at Memorial Sloan Kettering would treat the patient, or a doctor at Stanford would treat the patient. We actually provide all of that information, all of that guidance to the doctors who are treating cancer patients or patients with any other kind of disease, made possible by AI. I'm not going to take a lot of time. I'm going to pass it to Masa, but this is a very exciting program for Oracle to be a part of. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm really helping. That's good. That's great. I feel tall now. Thank you. Well, Mr. President, last month I came to celebrate your winning and promised that we will invest $100 billion. And you told me, oh, Masa, go for 200. Now I came back with 500. because this is the, as you said yesterday, this is the beginning of golden age of America. This is one great example, I think, right? We wouldn't have decided to do this.
I think so.
This is the beginning of golden age. We wouldn't have decided unless you won. And yesterday we agreed, we signed to make this happen because of this day.
Very nice.
So we would make this happen. We would immediately start deploying $100 billion with a goal of making $500 billion within next 4 years, within your term, right? Because of your success. So we are very, very excited to do this. And our partner is, of course, SoftBank, OpenAI, Oracle, and additionally investing partner with MGX. On top of that, we have the technology partner, NVIDIA. And of course, Microsoft has been very, very supportive to Sam and continue to support all our success. This is not just for business. As Larry said, this will help people's life. This will help solving many, many issues, difficult things that otherwise we could not have solved with the power of AI. I think AGI is coming very, very soon. And after that, that's not the goal. After that, artificial super intelligence will come to solve the issues that mankind would never ever have thought that we could solve. Well, this is the beginning of our golden age. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Fantastic.
I don't have too much to add, but I did want to say I'm thrilled we get to do this in the United States of America. I think this will be the most important project of this era. And as Masa said, for AGI to get built here, to create hundreds of thousands of jobs, to create a new industry centered here, we wouldn't be able to do this without you, Mr. President, and I'm thrilled that we get to. I think it'll be an exciting project. I think we'll be able to do all of the wonderful things that these guys talked about. But the fact that we get to do this in the United States is, I think, wonderful. So thank you very much.
Could you just say one word? I hear so many positive things about
what it's going to do for medical research and for solving things, cancer and all the different problems. How will AI help us with the fight against the various problems, diseases, etc.?
These guys can maybe share more about some of the work they're doing there. I think they'll jointly be some of the leaders about driving progress here. But I believe that as this technology progresses, we will see diseases get cured at an unprecedented rate. We will be amazed at how quickly we're curing this cancer and that one and heart disease, and what this will do for the ability of to deliver very high quality healthcare, the costs, but really to cure the diseases at a rapid, rapid rate, I think will be among the most important things this technology does.
Very good. Thank you.
So we're currently working on... Can I step on this? Okay. All right. No. I'm not that tall. I'm not that tall. Thank you, Mr. President. One of the most exciting things we're working on, using the tools that Sam and Masa are providing, is a cancer vaccine. It's very interesting. It turns out, I'll be quick, all of our cancers, cancer tumors, little fragments of those tumors float around in your blood. So you can do early cancer detection. If you can do it using AI, you can do early cancer detection with a blood test. And using AI to look at the blood test, you can find the cancers that are actually seriously threatening the person. So we can, again, cancer diagnosis using AI has the promise of just being a simple blood test. Then beyond that, once we gene sequence that cancer tumor, you can then vaccinate the person, design a vaccine for every individual person to vaccinate them against that cancer. And you can make that vaccine, that mRNA vaccine, you can make that robotically, again, using AI in about 48 hours. So imagine early cancer detection, the development of a cancer vaccine for your particular cancer aimed at you, and have that vaccine available in 48 hours. This is the promise of AI and the promise of the future.
States with some tech CEOs announcing the formation of Stargate artificial intelligence to solve a variety of problems.
We'll finish up, but these are highly respected guys. I was shocked with Larry because I don't even think Larry does this stuff. You did a very good job for a guy that doesn't do it much, right? But he's so respected, and the group, and it's really an honor. But for Larry to be here and do this is very unusual because he doesn't do this stuff. He doesn't need it. He does, and you don't need it, do you? Huh? You don't need it. But I think it's an honor to the country. It's a great honor that this group, these are the top people, that they're going to do it, and they're going to do it here, and we're going to make it as easy as it can be. A $500 million Stargate project comes in addition to a separate pledge between $100 and $200 billion from, as we know, from Masa that we talked about before. Also, $20 billion from the MAC, which was great. And we have many others that are coming. Some, I just say, just announce it. It's easier. But with some, I know them, and they're so highly respected, I'd rather do it this way. Many would like to do it this way, but we're letting the world know what's happening. This is money that normally would have gone to China or other countries, but in particular China. In total, before the end of my first full business day in Washington in the White House, we've already secured nearly $3 trillion of new investments in the United States, and probably that's going to be 6 or 7 by the end of the week. Tremendous amounts of money are coming in for many things other than even AI. AI seems to be very hot. It seems to be the thing that a lot of smart people are looking at very strongly, and our country will be prospering like never before. I think that's true, and it's going to be the golden age of America. As I say, yesterday we had the most ambitious, action-oriented day of any administration in history. No, there's never been a first day like yesterday, as you know. I signed a sweeping slate of executive orders to stop the invasion of our borders. I launched a government-wide effort to defeat inflation and bring down the cost of daily life and bring down the cost of energy, magnificently bring it down. And when energy comes down, Larry, I'd say, generally speaking, when energy comes down, everything else comes down. The prices of food and the prices of everything else come down. Energy is the big, that's the big baby. And we declared a national energy emergency to drill, baby, drill, our term that we use. We're going to drill, baby, drill like never before. We ended destructive DEI mandates across the federal government and returned our country to a merit-based system and a common sense system. As you know, the Supreme Court gave us a decision on merit, where things in this country can be based on merit now instead of a lot of different rules, regulations, and things that really put our country at a big disadvantage. We permanently stopped government censorship and restored free speech. That was signed yesterday. We renamed the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. Sounds so beautiful, the Gulf of America, and returned the name of a great president, William McKinley, to Mount McKinley. They took off the name, and he was actually a great president. He was a very, very successful businessman. He ran for governor of Ohio. He won and did a great job as governor, ran for president, and he won. He was assassinated, ultimately, in his second term, unfortunately. But he was the tariff king, and he... I don't think he was as bad as I am. I think I believe in him even more than him, but he believed in him very strongly. And he raised massive amounts of money. Our country was at its richest from 1870 to 1913. We had the most. That was when we were the richest, relatively speaking. We were the richest during that period of time. That was tariffs from other countries. And our administration's moving with unprecedented urgency and speed to confront every single crisis facing us, and we'll get the job done. And again, I want to thank Sam and Masa and Larry for being here. It's an honor to have them. And we'll take a few questions if you want.
Can I ask about some of the executive orders? You would agree that it's never acceptable to assault a police officer.
Sure.
Right? So then, if I can, among those you pardoned, DJ Rodriguez, he drove a stun gun into the neck of a D.C. police officer who was abducted by the mob that day. He later confessed on video to the FBI and pleaded guilty for his crimes. Why does he deserve a pardon?
Well, I don't know. Is it a pardon? Because we're looking at commutes and we're looking at pardons. Okay, well, we'll take a look at everything. But I can say this. Murderers today are not even charged. You have murderers that aren't charged all over. You take a look at what's gone on in Philadelphia. Take a look at what's gone off in L.A., where people murder people and they don't get charged. These people have already served years in prison.
Hey, Philadelphia,
and,
get a shout out.
And they've served them viciously. It's a disgusting prison. It's been horrible. It's inhumane. It's been a terrible, terrible thing. I also say this. You go to Portland, where they did, where they wrapped police officers, shot police officers, nothing happened to anybody. You go to Seattle, where they took over a big chunk of the city and people died. Portland, a lot of people died. Wait a minute. And you go also take a look at Minneapolis, because I was there and I watched it. And if I didn't bring in the National Guard, that city wouldn't even exist today. People were killed and nobody went to jail. So these people have already served a long period of time, and I made a decision to give a pardon. Joe Biden gave a pardon yesterday to a lot of criminals. These are criminals that he gave a pardon to. And you should be asking that question. Why did he give a pardon to all of these people that committed crimes? Why did he give a pardon to the J6 Unselect Committee when they burned and destroyed all documents which showed that they did what was wrong, not me? Wait a minute, wait a minute. Why did they give a pardon to all of his relatives, his brother who made millions of dollars, to all these different people? He gave pardons. That's the question you should be answering. All right, go ahead. Yeah, please.
If I can just kind of follow up really bad, you see, can I just follow up that really bad?
No.
That's it. Go ahead. You said
tell us about your meeting with Speaker Johnson, Senator Thune. Did you reach any conclusion on this one big story?
Pretty much. I think we have a good situation now. It's been in some ways made simpler by Los Angeles because they're going to need a lot of money. And generally speaking, I think you'll find that a lot of Democrats are going to be asking for help. So I think maybe that makes it more one-sided. I think we're going to do very well. Look, we're going to take care of Los Angeles. I'm going there. I'm going to North Carolina, which has been abandoned by the Democrats. And I'm going to North Carolina, very importantly, first. I'll be there on Friday. And then I'm going from there to Los Angeles. And then I'm going to Nevada. And I'm really going to Nevada to thank them for the vote, because we won Nevada overwhelmingly. And that's usually a Democrat vote. And I just want to go there to thank the people of Nevada for the big vote. So we'll be making that. Yeah, please.
The leaders of the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers were freed following their pardons yesterday. At the time back in 2021, you urged them to stand back and stand by. Is there now a place for them in the political conversation?
Well, we have to see. They've been given a pardon. I thought their sentences were ridiculous and excessive. One of the guys took down a flag that was an anti-American flag, and he was given years in jail. I don't know the exact number, but he was given many years in jail. I thought it was very excessive. And at least the cases that we looked at, these were people that actually love our country. So we thought a pardon would be appropriate. Yeah.
Mr. President, is it also true in your conversations with Republicans today that you asked them to consider recess appointments for cabinet officials?
I think, yeah, if it's needed. I don't think it's going to be needed. Marco, as you know, got passed overwhelmingly with 99-0, which is pretty amazing. Marco is going to do a great job, Secretary of State. But he just got, I guess he was the first one and just got approved. That's some vote, 99-0, and the nothing was a vote that he would have gotten if we wanted to do it. But you know whose vote that was, who's doing a great job right now as vice president.
You also talk about some sort of a trade or a deal involving wildfire relief in extension for a debt.
Well, what I really want to have done, I was talking about this with the guys back.
Is there anything more
in the Oval Office
than Biden has in 4 years? This
Los
entire
Angeles
4 years.
Has massive amounts of water available to it. All they have to do is turn the valve, and that's the valve coming back from and down from the Pacific Northwest, where millions of gallons of water a week and a day, even in many cases, pours into California, goes all through California down to Los Angeles, and they turned it off. It's off now. The valve goes, it turns toward the Pacific Ocean, and all that water goes pouring into the Pacific Ocean. If they did what I told them to do, they wouldn't do it because politically they didn't think it was good. I think it's great politically. I think they're dead politically. What they've done, they've destroyed the city. What they've done to that city is unbelievable. The sprinklers, their sprinklers in there like these right here that you see, none of them had any water in them. They didn't have any water. The fire hydrants, 40% of them had no water. The brush was soaked, was just dry. Everything was dry. The sprinklers on the lawn weren't allowed to even be used. So, you know, everything was dry and it was an inferno. They created an inferno. So we're demanding that they turn the valve back toward Los Angeles right now. It's not even believable that they haven't done it. Just so you know, they have a valve and it turns like, think of a sink, but multiply it times many thousands of times the size of it. It's massive. And you turn it back toward Los Angeles. Why aren't they doing it? They either have a death wish, they're stupid, or there's something else going on that we don't understand. But we want the water that they're throwing away to be used for California. And that includes the farmers of California. You know, when you drive up north, you see all of the land. I couldn't believe it. I was with Devin Nunes when he was a congressman and some other congressmen from the area, and we're driving up and we're on the highway, and I keep looking at these farms, and the land is bone dry, and then you'd see an acre, about an acre or 2 acres, with the most beautiful green plants growing in it, the most beautiful. It's a rich stuff, and you look at the soil, and it's so rich. That soil is almost the equivalent to, like, Iowa soil. It's phenomenal. It's got no water. But the reason it has no water, I said, do you have a drought? No. I said, what do you mean you don't have a drought? Look at the thing. It's dry as a bone. The reason you have like an acre is because they say you can farm 1 acre, but no more, because they didn't want to waste water. But they throw the water into the Pacific Ocean. These people are crazy. So we're going to be issuing an executive order demanding that they immediately let that water come down to through California farmers, even people living in Beverly Hills. Now, those people have been a lot of them are wiped out. Believe it or not, you know, they were having restrictions. Larry, you know about this. They wanted to restrict you to 38 gallons of water a day. That sounds like a lot, but it's not. When you're a rich person and you like to take a shower, 38 gallons doesn't last very long. And they have all this water, and it's really good water. Up high, Pacific Northwest, some comes in from Canada. A nice country, by the way. Comes in from Canada, and it comes all the way through California.
And call that
and they're restricting it. You even have the half pipes, you know, the half pipes.
This is President Trump speaking in the
Roosevelt room
at the White House.
And they're going all the way down.
Says he'll issue an executive order on California.
And they could be loaded
up
with
water. And this is an AI presentation with tech leaders now announcing a $500 billion investment in artificial intelligence.
That's doing poorly anyway. But I said, how are you protecting the Delta smelt by not giving it water? It's a fish. Needs water. Nobody can answer that question.
President Trump, let
me do this first.
Are you open to Elon buying TikTok?
Say,
are you open to Elon buying TikTok?
I would be if he wanted to buy it, yeah.
On your inauguration.
I'd like Larry to buy it, too. I have the right to make a deal. So the deal I'm thinking about, Larry, let's negotiate in front of the media. The deal, I think, is this. And I've met with owners of TikTok, the big owners. It's worthless if it doesn't get a permit. It's not like, oh, you can take the U.S. The whole thing is worthless. With a permit, it's worth like $1 trillion. So what I'm thinking about saying to somebody is buy it and give half to the United States of America, half, and we'll give you the permit. And they'll have a great partner, the United States. And they'll have something that's actually more valuable because they have the ultimate partner, and the United States will make it very worthwhile for them in terms of the permits and everything else. But so think of it. You have an asset that has no value or has $1 trillion value. It all depends on whether or not the United States gives the permit. So what I'm saying is let the United States give the permit and the United States should get half. Sounds reasonable. What do you think?
Sounds like a good deal to me, Mr. President.
He can afford it, too.
Mr. President, you're a president who has long said that you back the blue, but aren't you sending the message that assaulting officers is okay?
This guy's obsessed.
No, the opposite. In fact, I'm going to be letting two officers from Washington Police, D.C. I believe they're from D.C., but I just approved it. They were arrested, put in jail for 5 years because they went after an illegal, and I guess something happened where something went wrong, and they arrested the two officers and put them in jail for going after a criminal, a rough criminal, by the way, and I'm actually releasing. No, I am the friend of police more than any president that's ever been in this office.
More than 400 of the people that you pardoned, though, assaulted officers. So I want to ask you about the Vice President, J.D. Vance. He said, if you committed violence on January 6th, obviously you should not be pardoned. Why is your vice president wrong?
Well, only for one reason. They've served years in jail. They should not have served, excuse me, and they've served years in jail. And murderers don't even go to jail in this country. And we had 1,500. We have 16 under review. As you know, we commuted about 16 of them because it looks like they could have done things that were not acceptable for a full pardon. But these people have served years of jail. Their lives have been ruined. And in many cases, listen to me for a second. Stop interrupting. They served years in jail. And if you look at the American public is tired of it. Take a look at the election. Just look at the numbers on the election. We won this election in a landslide because the American public is tired of people like you that are just one-sided, horrible people in terms of crime. You don't talk about all the people that have been killed and what happens to those murderers. Murderers get no time. You take a look at some of these DAs. They go after political opponents, but they don't go after people that shoot people in the street. They're caught. They know where they're living. They know everything. They don't even go up to pick them up anymore. They just let them live there. They know all about it. They have their pictures. They have the tape of the shooting. And they don't even go up and talk. And you're talking about this. No, we pardoned people that were treated unbelievably well, poorly. In the history of our country, there's never been anything take place like this. They're still looking for them, but they're not looking for the murderers, the people that are killing everybody. We are, though, and we're getting them out of the country. We just started that. We're getting them out of the country, and they're going to be gotten out of the country fast. They came in illegally from jails and from prisons. They killed many people. Some of them killed many people. About 50% of them killed more than one person. They were released into our country. That's what we're focused on, not the kind of nonsense you're talking about.
You've called for a ceasefire in Ukraine. If Vladimir Putin doesn't come to the table to negotiate with you, will you put additional sanctions on Russia?
Sounds likely.
And yeah. Do you think that the war should be frozen currently along
the war should have never
lines?
Started. If you had a competent president, which you didn't, the war wouldn't have happened. The war in Ukraine would have never happened if I were president. But that couldn't happen because the election was rigged. Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. President, there's been some debate within your orbit over whether or not to keep or eliminate H-1B visas. What's your position on that? Do you want to keep H-1Bs or do you want to get
them? I like both sides of the argument, but I also like very competent people coming into our country, even if that involves them training and helping other people that may not have the qualifications they do. But I don't want to stop. And I'm not just talking about engineers. I'm talking about people at all levels. We want competent people coming into our country. And HB1, I know the program very well. I use the program. Maitre d's, wine, you know, experts, even waiters, high quality waiters. You got to get the best people. Now, then you go into people like Larry, and he needs engineers, and Masa needs, and this gentleman needs engineers like nobody's ever needed engineers, right? So we have to have the quality people coming in. Now, by doing that, we're expanding businesses, and that takes care of everybody. So I'm sort of on both sides of the argument, but what I really do feel is that we have to let really competent people, great people, come into our country, and we do that through the H-1 program.
Mr. President, are you looking to impose tariffs on Canada and Mexico in an effort to force negotiations sooner on USMCA?
No, it's really not on USMCA. It has nothing to do with that. They've allowed both of them. Canada, very much so. They've allowed millions and millions of people to come into our country that shouldn't be here. They could have stopped them, and they didn't. And they've killed 300,000 people last year, my opinion, have been destroyed by drugs, by fentanyl. The fentanyl coming through Canada is massive. The fentanyl coming through Mexico is massive. And people are getting killed and families are being destroyed. I mean, the son gets killed and the family is a basket case for the rest of their lives. I mean, I've seen mothers that thought they'd heal. They never heal. They say it gets worse with time. It gets worse with time. They lose their boy. They lose their baby. They lose their young daughter to fentanyl poisoning. And I had that talk with President Xi the other day, too, of China. I said, we don't want that crap in our country. We got to stop it. I would have stopped it. I had a deal with him where he was going to give the maximum penalty, which in China is the death penalty for drug dealing. And he was all set. He was going to give the maximum penalty to fentanyl dealers if they send to the United States, they were going to get the death penalty. And of course, Biden didn't pick that up. I had that deal all done. It was all wrapped up. We were going to have it done. And then the election went, let's put it nicely, didn't go the proper way. I'm trying to be nice about it. It was rigged. And we had an incompetent president elected, and he never followed up on that deal. But he should have followed up, because if they got the death penalty, they wouldn't be sending fentanyl to Mexico, Canada, and other places. We're thinking about that, too. We're talking about a tariff of 10% on China based on the fact that they're sending fentanyl to Mexico and Canada.
How soon on those tariffs?
Probably February 1st is the date we're looking at. For Mexico and China, we're talking about approximately 25%.
Do you have an update on the Gaza ceasefire? And are you planning to travel to the Middle East soon?
We're thinking about going to the Middle East, not yet. We have a thing called the hostages are coming back going on right now, and they are coming back. Some of them have been very, you know, very damaged. You look at the young lady with her hand practically blown off. You know how that happened, right? Did you know how that happened? When you find out, you're not going to be too happy because it was terrible. But the hostages are starting to come back. If I weren't here, they wouldn't be back ever. They would have never come back. They would have all died. If this were done a year earlier, if Biden would have done this deal a year and a half, 2 years ago, or frankly, it should have never happened.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pause this so you don't miss anything. We're going to come back on the other side and pick it up right here so you don't miss anything. By the way, that was Peter Alexander from NBC News who kept interrupting and asking about the January 6th pardons, obviously obsessed with it. Big story of the hour. President Trump's big announcement today on artificial intelligence investment to the tune of $500 million. It's brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile in Cinnaminson or Woodbury right over the bridge and get the smile you deserve. The master of implant dentistry. Get a free implant consultation today. Big fourth and final hour coming up straight ahead. We'll continue with the press conference. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.